messages from the foot of the cross. Why do you persecute me? Acts 8:1. Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. In this scripture in Acts, we see how persecution began to rise up. The dragon, Satan, began to rise up and try to annihilate the newborn church of Yeshua, the Messiah. And the main instrument of persecution out of Jerusalem, out of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, was Saul, the disciple of Gamaliel. Acts 9:1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Let's look at Acts 26:9. This is Saul's own testimony of the incident. Indeed, I myself thought I must do things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow! I mean, just look at how awesome that is. He's going to be, this is the minister and a witness. This is the definition of it. The minister and witness, the servant of God, those who follow Jesus. He will reveal things to us. He delivers from the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles. He has deliverance. And then he turns around and sends us back to them in order to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That, what is the purpose? to receive forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, and an inheritance, that means an eternal life for those who are sanctified by faith in me. He who believes in him is not condemned, John 3:8, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Very clearly, this passage exposes the condemnation of those who don't believe, that those who don't believe are in darkness and they don't want to come into the light because their deeds will expose. Those who believe are not condemned, and they walk in the light and in the truth. Then Jesus said to them, John 7:6, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. He was speaking to his brothers, and they wanted him to go up to Jerusalem, and he did not want to go up. It was a timing issue. But your time is always ready. They were saying, go to the feast, make yourself known. The world cannot hate you, he said to his brother, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Why does the world hate Jesus? Because he testifies against it, that the world's works are evil. And so they hate him. John 15:8. Now, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me. This is Jesus speaking, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. John 3:13, do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? This is very clear. This passage says, and this is beyond the Good Samaritan passage in which Jesus says, who's my neighbor? How do I love my neighbor? There was a stranger beat up on the side of the road, and the religious leaders went by and wouldn't touch him because it was the preparation day for the Sabbath or for some feast, and they didn't want to get ritually unclean. But we lay down our lives for our brethren's. If you have your world's good and your brethren is in need and you shut up your heart from him, the love of God doesn't abide in you. My little children, let us not love the in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. This is Paul's, the apostle, speaking. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Why do you persecute me? Messages from the foot of the cross.